You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. This is your host, Looney Lewis, and today I have a solo episode for you. We are going over the 17 principles of success, and today we want to talk about number 12, teamwork, from the book Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. I want to break it down for you guys who have not read that book. It is a life changer. People who read it become millionaires, and Bob Proctor, who reads it every day, he like carries it around with him, the original copy, because it's powerful stuff. And so I'm breaking it down for you guys, and today's principle of success is teamwork. So most of us understand the value and benefit of teamwork, right? But it is often an elusive phenomenon. It takes trust, communication, unselfishness, and a common goal. If one member of the team has secrets, selfish motives, trust and communication will never be built to a level that will push you or your team to a common goal. So we have all been part of a group at work or at school where we have to collaborate and work with other people, but it becomes real challenging to build cohesiveness within the team. So today I want to talk about the five stages of forming or developing a team, and also the benefits. Teamwork is harmonious cooperation that is willing, voluntary, and get this, it is free. Whenever the spirit of teamwork is the dominating influence in business or industry, success is inevitable. Harmonious corporate cooperation is a priceless asset that you can acquire in proportion to your giving. So many discussion has been focused mostly on a team as an entity, not on the individuals inside the team. So this is like describing a car by its model and color without considering what is under the hood. External characteristics are what we see and interact with, but internal characteristics are what makes the car work. So in teams, the internal characteristics of the people in the team and how they interact with each other makes the organization work. They make the culture of the team, the dynamic of the team. Their personalities become the personality or the culture of the team. They will form the team norm and cohesiveness. And so let me break down what the team norm and cohesiveness is. So team norms are basically relationship guidelines that develop gradually. Team members develop particular ways of interacting with each other over time until those habits become behavioral expectations. A team can have high performance norms or low performance norms, like high standard, top quality. Like I know Disney focuses on quality work. They will not launch anything, even if they're against deadlines, until the quality is perfect. And that's why we love Disney products. We love their movies. We love everything that they do. And so same thing with Costco. Costco has quality products. And so that culture, that norm is high performance, top notch. And that's a culture that has been built from top down, from management all the way down to the individuals that are doing customer service and cashier, because it's important. The culture is designed with the people that are in it working. Those personalities become the company's personality or company's culture. So let's talk about the cohesiveness of the team, right? Team cohesion is the strength and extent of interpersonal connections and interpersonal skills existing among the members of the group. It is this interpersonal bond that causes members to participate readily and remain motivated to accomplish the set goals. Cohesive teams have an attitude of we-ness. Like, we are in this together. We can do this. If let me help you with that, how can I help you? How can I assist you? Like, that question floats around a whole lot when you are part of a cohesive team that works together, that collaborates and notice the need to build each other up. So For teams to be effective, the people in those teams must be able to work together to contribute collectively to team outcome. But this does not happen automatically. It develops as the team works together. You have probably had an experience when you have been put on a team to work on a school project. When your team first gets together, you likely sit around and look at each other, not knowing how to begin. Initially, you are not a team. You are just individuals assigned to work together. Over time, though, you get to know one another. You get to know what to expect from each other. You get to know how to divide the labor and assign tasks, and to know how you will coordinate your work. Through this process, you begin to operate as a team instead of a collection of individuals. This process of learning to work together effectively is known as team development. Research has shown that teams go through 5 definitive stages during the development process. So Bruce Tuckman, an educational psychologist, identified a 5-stage development process that most teams follow to become high performing. He calls the stages forming, storming, norming, performing, and adjourning. So let's look a little deeper at each of the phases. So phase 1, the forming stage. The forming stage involves a period of orientation and getting acquainted. Uncertainty is high during this stage, and people are looking for leadership and authority. People want to be told what to do. Nobody wants to step up. A member who asserts authority or is knowledgeable may be looked to take control. Team members are asking such questions as, what does the team offer me? What is expected of me? Will I fit in? Most interactions are social as members get to know each other. Lots of small talks here. So let's look at phase 2, the storming stage. There would be no process if there's no fighting, right? So phase 2 is called the storming stage. The storming stage is the most difficult and critical stage to pass through, because essentially you're dealing with different personalities, so you're going to be butting heads. You have different way of doing things. You have different oppositions. And because of that, the conflict arises. But it's not a bad thing. Through this conflict, you will learn. You will build more cohesiveness, and you will build the norm of the team, because then you can set out these rules and regulations going forward. But also, when you come out of this this storming stage, you are able to perform, to skyrocket together as a unit, because that's what's happening. You had 2 different people coming together that needs to work as one. And that can be a challenge, even in like one-on-one relationship, intimate relationship. Well, it's the same thing for team building as well. So let's look at the storming stage. It is a period marked by conflict and competition as individual personalities emerge. Team performance may actually decrease in this stage because energy is put into unproductive activities. Members may disagree on team goals, and subgroups and cliques may form around strong personalities or areas of agreement. To get through this stage, members must work to overcome obstacles, to accept individual differences, and to work through conflicting ideas on team tasks and goals. Teams can get bogged down in this stage, and it can last longer than it has to. I think awareness is key. Once team members realize like this is part of the process, this is going to happen regardless. And then being able to sit down and actually hash out a plan on a best effective way to move forward. So failure to address conflicts may result in long-term problems, and nobody want that. Ain't nobody got time for that, right? So that's this storming stage. Phase 3, which is the norming stage, magic starts to happen, right? If teams get through the storming stage, conflict is resolved, some degree of unity emerges. In the norming stage, a consensus develops around who the leader or leaders are and individual members' role. So it's like a job analysis, right? You now know who's doing what. You assign tasks to each individual depending on their skill set or their talent. Because now everybody plays a role. You got to think of it as like a body, right? Where each limb is important to make the body work as a unit, for lack of better words. So interpersonal differences begin to be resolved and a sense of cohesion and unity emerges. Team performance increases during this stage as members learn to cooperate and begin to focus on team goals. However, the harmony is precarious. Right? If disagreements reemerge, the team can slide back to the storming phase. So it is important here to thread lightly because you can go backwards. You can revert back to fighting. You can revert back to disagreement. You can revert back to the storming phase. And again, the storming phase will take longer if you don't resolve these issues or work through the interpersonal differences that causes the tiff or the conflict to begin with. So phase four is the performing stage. In this performing stage, consensus and cooperation have been well established, and the team is mature, organized, and well functioning. There is a clear and stable structure, and members are committed to the team's mission. Problems and conflicts still emerge, but they are dealt with constructively. The team is focused on problem solving and meeting team goals and objectives. Now everyone is in alignment. I mean, you think of a bobsliding team or canoeing team that are moving in unison, rowing at the same time. That's cohesiveness. That's performance. And with that, you have more power. You can go further, right? There's a lot more you can accomplish when the team is working together in alignment. You're using everybody's strength to give you that energy to thrive. So no team lasts forever, sadly. There is an adjourning stage, which is phase number five. In the adjourning stage, most of the team's goals have been accomplished. The emphasis is on wrapping up final tasks and documenting the efforts and results. As the workload is diminished, individual members may be reassigned to other teams and the team disbands. There may be regret as the team ends, so a ceremonial acknowledgement of the work and success of the team can be helpful. If the team is a standing committee with ongoing responsibilities, members may be replaced by new people and the team can go back to forming or storming stage and repeat the development process all over again. And we can see this within organizations. We can see this with any project around the house. We can see this with the siblings getting along. You see that I know a lot of people are aware of the fighting, the quarrel between siblings a lot. But this is what's happening also, is this five stages of team development that is taking place within siblings, within families. So being mindful of knowing what they are and how to properly adjust accordingly will help the process of getting to the end goal of cohesiveness. There is a great African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Y'all, I cannot stress the beauty of teamwork and establishing teamwork. So that is the number 12 principle to success is teamwork and how to effectively form them and work together as a unit to go further, right? You don't want to grow fast. You don't want to build your business fast and it's on rocky grounds. It doesn't last. It's shaky. You want to go further. You're in the business for a long term, long haul to see profit. You want to do it together. And that's why we form effective teams. I know I do. I have a great team surrounding me. I have a great team of interns, a great team of app developers, a great team of website developers. And also I enjoy creating content to make this all run smoothly. I don't do it alone. And I am grateful and tremendously blessed to have this opportunity to share with you today. All right, morning enthusiasts, that is it. I will see you at the top of your best morning routine ever. Stay blessed.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.